I want you to crave that way for me. I want you to crave that way for truth. So instead of being miserable because you've missed two or three meals or you fasted a day or two and your body is screaming out, I got to have food, just think, God wants my spirit man to be calling out to God too. And basically that's what fasting is about. Fasting is about three things. Number one, fasting is a reconnecting with God on a higher plane. Fasting in itself is a means to what end? That I now connect to God in a more intimate way. I now connect Him in a different way. Something is new and something fresh. Fasting is a reestablishing of my prayer life, which is symbolic of my humility. People that are proud don't pray. So it's a reestablishment of my prayer life in humility. And the third thing, fasting is a recovery of spiritual giftings, graces, and promises. Fasting brings those back. Amen. So with that, we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 58, the great chapter on fasting. Before we get to verse 6, the first five verses are very interesting. Starts out with cry aloud and show my people their sin, but then it goes on to this. He said, this is a people who are seeking me daily. They do want to know my ways. They are a nation that wants righteousness. And it's like, wow, they're seeking God. They want to know his ways. But then they said this to God. They said, we have fasted and afflicted our soul, but you haven't acknowledged it. You see, this is all within the first five verses. And see, a lot of people think because I fast, it's going to make God do something. And because I fast, God's going to answer my prayer the next day. And these were people, the very religious people, and God didn't answer their prayer. He said, listen, the reason that I am not answering that is because there's two reasons. When you fast, you still do everything normal. You don't take time with me. You just stop eating, but you don't enter into that secret place. And the second thing is, you still won't get rid of strife and debate. I tell you, you got to watch it today. Is whether we're right or wrong, whether we getting into strife and debate does something to our spirit, to our heart. Amen. Most people cannot handle strife and debate without getting mad at somebody, right? Amen. So he says, listen, you say you're not eating and you're going around looking like I'm hungry, but I didn't want you to fast to look like that. And you won't get rid of the strife. The Spirit of God is very sensitive to strife, isn't he? That's why love covers that multitude of that. So here we are, Isaiah is prophesying to the southern kingdom, Judah and some of Ephraim. And he starts out with this. He says, okay, I know you want to know about fasting. How many want to learn a little more about fasting today? He says, you're seeking me, but let's just fine-tune this thing so we just don't get hungry. God said, is not this the fast I have chosen? He said, well, let me tell you, this is going to work. I like stuff that works. He said, right at the beginning, the fasting is to take us to another level with Christ and his understanding. He goes right into this. The fast he's chosen is to loose the bands of wickedness. We believe that we are living in a wicked time in the world. People killing each other, people, husbands and wives committing suicide, taking their children. We are in a time like I've never seen in my life. He said, your fasting will give you an understanding that I love people and I want to intervene for the wickedness to go. Then he said to undo the heavy burdens. Isn't it interesting? He hasn't even mentioned us yet. Fasting gets us out of ourselves with God to understand God's perspective of the earth at this moment. Undo the heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free. God's all into freedom. God doesn't like people to be oppressed. He said in the book of Exodus, I've heard the cries of my people and I have come down to see if it was true. And I've come down and I raised up Moses because God doesn't want you oppressed or anyone oppressed. And that you break every yoke. Yoke can be an habitual habit. It could be drugs. It could be any type of thing that keeps people yoked to that thing which will destroy them in the end. So Isaiah, God uses Isaiah to say this. Then he says this. Is it not, he asks the question, is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to your house, when you see the naked that you cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from mine own flesh, that means your own kindred, that you don't just go away from them and don't take care of them? Isn't it interesting here how God is building, layering an understanding what fasting is about? He doesn't even mention hardly anything about not eating. And then it goes on to say this, then, everybody say then. Wow. See, the people in the first five verses in Israel, they were saying, well, nothing's happening. But God says, well, let me just fine-tune this about you. Number one, your fasting is not going to make me just do something. Number two, it's not about you being miserable for 2 days and having bad breath. What it's about is how I see things. The hunger is only to show you that natural hunger, if you change that to spiritual hunger, if you begin to hunger me in a new capacity and a new dimension, not just a church attendance, not reading a little two-minute devotional, but if you go to another level of hungering for me, and I'm going to tell you a practical way to do that. Every one of us have not only issues in our life, but we also have questions about things. Get in the Bible and get some new topics that you don't know anything about. Maybe you know very little about. Begin to hunger after things like, how does the anointing work? How can I be a vessel of restoration? How can I help somebody in their marriage? How can I help somebody that's been sexually abused? Is there scriptures? You begin to hunger after the scriptures, which is hungering after Jesus because he is the Word. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning. On my CD, it will be out in a month and a half. The name of the CD is Awaken the Dawn. And that's the first song on the CD, Awaken the Dawn, because I come over here when it's still dark. Amen. And in the summer, it's a little different because the sun comes up earlier. And so I can see the dawn coming up. Awaken the Dawn. I love it. I don't like driving in the dark. Awaken the Dawn. Your light. How many need some more light? What does that mean? I need some more understanding here. First of all, why am I here? Why has all this stuff happened to me? Why do I seem to be failing? Why do I seem to things not clicking? I need some understanding. I need like a light to come on. And then he goes, your health shall spring forth speedily. You know, fasting, going without food, not only spiritually but naturally, is good for your body. You just think about it. How many times do we eat? Your body's always digesting. It says you're going to be in better health because of that. Thy righteousness shall go before you. Wow. Righteousness is what? Righteousness is by grace. It's by faith. It's the righteousness of Christ. But also, God will give you understanding how to do things right. You know, you can be a Christian and do things wrong. We can have our own self-righteousness. He's talking about there's a righteousness that comes from God. And how about this? The glory of the Lord shall be your reward. Now, I don't have time to talk about all that the glory of the Lord is, but one of the things the glory of the Lord is favor. God's glory is like a favor. It's blessing. God's glory is his presence. His joy to lift you up. I love it when I get rewarded, don't you? Then shall thy light break forth. And then I love, it just gets better and better. It just gets better. Turn to somebody, it gets better and better. Better and better, gooder and gooder. Then he says this, thou shalt call, and the Lord shall answer. How many have ever called somebody and they don't answer? How many have ever been guilty of not picking up the phone? Anyway, thou shalt call, How many have had people call you wish at that moment? Anyway, hoping that. But anyway, maybe the phone will break some. But anyway, how many, God said, I'm going to answer you. See, that's what the first five verses, the people didn't get it. They said, well, you're not answering me. God says, well, let's adjust this thing. I do want to answer you. I don't want you to live your life cradle to the grave and have these gigantic questions about life and God unanswered. He says, I want to answer them. Lord's going to answer. How many love it when you call 800 or something and someone answers and not a robot? Amen. Yesterday, somebody for Christmas sent me an Amazon box with my name on it, William Smalt, 3224 Jersey Court. All right. You know, somebody sent me a present or something. I opened it up, and there's a package in there addressed to somebody in Washington, D.C. I said, how did that happen? So I said, well, I went to the UPS store, and they said, well, you have to call the 800 number. We don't handle that. Okay, so I go to the 800 number, go through about 50 different things. If you want this, press this. If you want this, and none of them had any answer, so I pushed zero. Bam. So I got this girl on there, and I explained to her, and she was, like, quiet. She was like, huh? Yeah. I've never heard of that. I said, well, ma'am, it did happen. What do I do? Let me give you a manager. So I waited and waited, and she came back. Well, sir, are you sure that wasn't sent to you? I said, ma'am, let's go over this. No, I have no idea why I have this, and finally they're going to come sometime and get it. The point is, the call to God is sure. The phone line's never busy. How many had a party line? I think you had one. Did you have a party line? And what did you have to do if somebody was on there wouldn't get off? Wait, what if you said it was an emergency? What did you ever say it was an emergency and it wasn't? You just wanted to talk to one of your friends? No? Good for you. How many have ever did that? Don't raise your hand. Hallelujah. Thou shalt call, the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry. Wow. I mean, who hasn't cried tears this year? I have. How many have cried a few tears this year, in 2019? Anybody? Is it mine the only one? I'm not talking about tears of self-pity. I'm talking about things that just hurt your heart. He said, thou shalt cry, and when you're crying, He's going to say, here I am. Now, the God that spoke the worlds into existence, the stars, He names the stars, He numbers the stars. Like I said 2 weeks ago, they found another galaxy with a new star that is 1,000 times bigger than our star, our sun. 1,000 times bigger than the sun, our sun, they have found in this other galaxy. Wow. Our God that made that, He is touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He said, you'll cry, and I'm going to say, here I am. You know, when you're crying, sometimes you want to be alone, but a lot of times you don't want to be alone. If I have tears in my eyes, and my wife does, don't you want somebody to give you a hug? Let's talk about this. I know this is hurtful. I know this hurt. I know this isn't what we thought. You're disappointed. God says, I'll be there for you. Amen. If you take away, now He says, you know what? I want to fine-tune this. Take away from the midst of the yoke, putting forth of the finger and speaking vanity. Three things. He says, be careful you don't put a yoke on somebody. Encourage somebody. Don't be critical. Don't condemn them. Don't put a yoke on somebody. Second thing, putting forth of the finger. Some have judgment. You know, some of you are born, they say that by the time we're 5 and 6, our personalities are kind of already formed. And some of us, if you go online, you can take these tests that tells basically what kind of personality. And some people are born with the J in their first part of their personality, describing they are kind of a judge type of person. I mean, they judge everything. I mean, it's just, that's who they are. Judge everything, everybody, everything, every word. That's part of them. Now, God can use that if it's refined to judge against, you know, wickedness and sin. But if not, then you end up judging everybody and everything and everybody, even your brothers and sisters. He said, God, put that away. How do you do that? The only way you can do it is love. You've got to love people, not judge people. How many know that's God's job? I said, how many know that's God's job? How many believe the church, the body of Christ, we need less of the pointing of the finger and just love to flow? Amen. And then he said, speaking vanity. Yikes. How many believe you might have spoke a few idle words in 2019? Maybe a few. How many believe God forgives and forgets when we ask God to forgive us? But vanity. Vanity is a predisposition of expressing things in words that really have to only deal with temporal issues and problems. It's taking a molehill and making a mountain out of it. It's taking something that has irritated us and causing us to say things for 3 days, how bad we have it. And even though the children of Israel had manna and they had clothes that didn't wear out, they had the rock that followed them, yet they still complained. You see, speaking vanity is tied. Let me just say this. Speaking vanity is always on the highway of complaint. Pastor, have you complained in 2019? I sure have, and I repented. I mean, sometimes you complain of this body, I can't believe. Sometimes we don't even know we're speaking vanity. Come on. Sometimes we don't even realize it's out of our mouth. And we say, you know, but it's kind of like, you know, I don't want that. I want that to change. I want to be able to control my tongue because the Bible says if I do, I'm a perfect man. Boy, I got quiet. Hallelujah. Turn to somebody and say, God's chosen fast. Let's get back to the fasting, Pastor, can we? I mean, wow, yikes. I know, hey, I have to live this thing too. I've said things to my wife and I've gone and said, you know what, that was wrong. I shouldn't have said that. She said, she's done that to me. I've gone to my children and said, you know what? I said the right thing the wrong way. Because I refuse to hide behind anything that's not Christ. 2020, I want that glory for my reward. Amen. If you would draw out your soul to the hungry. Now, I want you to notice how he shifts here and he goes into another level. He says, just don't give bread because, see, you can give your body to be burned and not have love. You can give bread but not really love the person. Well, I'm doing this because it's a ministry. But no. If you draw out your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions to people, if you allow a warmth to come to consume you about their need. Listen, when I was in India, when I got off the plane, as soon as I got in the parking lot, the stench was unbelievable. I couldn't believe it. And then we rode a train for 15 hours. It was built in the 40s, and we had first-class arrangements, but they were like third-class. I mean, it was old and everything. And the people there, I didn't know the people, but when I stood there and 15,000 people were standing there that were Hindus, and they were in the cults, and they were just sitting there day after day in 100-degree heat under these tents, eating rice and curry. It's like my soul, I wanted to grab all of them and just say, come on out of your things. I know you've been oppressed. I know your country is steeped in darkness, but come to Jesus. My soul pouring out. That's what it is. It's a pouring out because God loves you. God loves you. And because I did that, I'll never forget, as I was preaching, the Holy Spirit, God said to me, the Holy Spirit's going to fall in 3 minutes. And I was thinking, I'm not Benny Hinn. I'm not, you know, I walked across the platform again. And in 3 minutes, the Holy Spirit, and I was thinking, is this me? Why? I'm not even thinking about this. And all of a sudden, it happened again. And the third time it happened, it was like, God said, in 3 minutes, the Holy Spirit's going to fall. So I just kept preaching. And I'm telling you, in 3 minutes, I said one last scripture, and I'm telling you, I've never experienced it. The only other time I experienced it is when I was in a church out in California, like 1,000 youth. This is with America for Jesus. I read Psalm 133, and about 2 minutes after I read it, young people just got out of their seats, started coming to the altar crying. I gave the mic back to the pastor. I didn't even know what to do. But I'll never forget. When that 3 minutes was up, people stood up, started dancing, started running to the altar. I did. It was like, I'm like, okay, Bill, you know what? You know what? Okay, I'm just going to be cool here. But you have 15,000 people dancing, rejoicing, being set free by God. I didn't do anything. How many believe that God wants to give that back to the church? That no preacher gets the glory. It's not because everything is perfect in a sermon and everything meets my need, but God just suddenly comes. But he's got to find a people that want to pour out their soul. Not just to people that I like, not just to my family, not just to my culture, but everybody. And if God can find a person and a people like that, he said, guess what? Look out, because I'm coming to visit you. Pour out your soul to the hungry. Satisfy the afflicted soul. God wants us to help the afflicted. Then, again, shall thy light rise in obscurity. All of a sudden, light will come. Again, God's into light, isn't he? He is light. Thy darkness shall be as noonday. How many love it when the sun comes out? I mean, yesterday the sun came out for about 3 minutes and went back in. I said, cheater. Teaser. But today the sun is out. I love it. Love it, love it. I don't think we're going to have much of a winter, folks. I don't. I'm looking at the temperature the next 2 weeks. Man, woo! Thank you, Jesus. I know we have some here want snow and ice. God bless you. Amen. Amen. Lord help you. Amen. Lord help you. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. How many have come to the place of your life you realize, if I don't get God's guidance, I'm going to shipwreck and mess up my life. Not only that, I'm going to miss what God had for me. I'm going to hurt others in the process. Because the Lord is my shepherd. He expects us to follow him. The Lord shall guide thee continually. How many want God to guide you in your marriage? How many want God to guide you in your finances? How many want God to guide you in your mental, emotional life, your thought life? How many want God so we don't make a decision? Now, whether you go to Hardee's or Burger King, I don't think God's too concerned. But there are major decisions in our life that we do not want to mess up because they could take 10 to 20 years before the waves of that wrong decision dissolve. The Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought, make fat thy bones. Guess what? He didn't say he's going to make fat your body. He's just going to make your bones fat. Hallelujah. Because I don't know about that promise, if it's going to make fat your body. But I don't mind my bones being fat. Amen. He's going to satisfy. Oh, I missed the one. He must satisfy your soul in drought. Make fat thy bones. Thou shalt be like a watered garden, a spring of water whose waters don't fail. What is he talking about? Consistency. How many believe God wants you to be more consistent? He doesn't want you this one day, down the next day. Yep. But you know, even David was that way. Half of the Psalms he wrote, half of them were written from either a fear perspective, discouraged perspective, or a depressed, oh soul, why art thou cast down? Half of them are David crying out for stability. How many believe we could be a little more stable? Anybody? Mm-hmm. A little more consistent? Don't you like being around stable people? Why? Because I learn from their stability. Doesn't mean I don't, I'm with everybody, people that are not, people that are. But I say, what does this person have? Why? What does this person possess of consistency and stability that I could learn from? How is this person emotionally more stable? What do they have? What can I learn? You know, if we'll all have that attitude, we can learn from each other. Oh, I'm preaching at you, I know. The Lord shall guide thee continually, soul in drought, your waters aren't going to fail. Turn to somebody and say, I don't want my waters to fail. How many have ever been, I'm going to kind of hurry, but how many have ever been in a storm or something and your water, you can't use your water, electricity, or anything? Yikes. Let me give you some purposes of fasting real quick. God said, we're going to review this, loose the bands of wickedness. They can be loosed. Now, does that mean if I fast that somebody in Petersburg over there, all of a sudden the wickedness will be loose from them? Well, I don't know if we could take it to that extreme, but I do believe once we enter into fasting, we are shifting into a spiritual zone. I believe there are things happening in the spiritual, but you know, basically, fasting really is about things happening in my heart. Because if it happens in my heart, then I'll perceive the wickedness and I'll ask God to help use me to get rid of the wickedness. Second thing is undo heavy burdens. Let the oppressed go free and break every yoke. You see, what we want to do is we say, well, I'm going to fast and pray, and God, you're going to go over there and do this. Now, I do believe there's a place where God moves on a corporate type of prayer in a city. But basically, I want you to look at this, that God's preparing you and I to be greater witnesses for him. Now, the next thing is a response, and thank you, Paul, for correcting that response. What should we do? Deal thy bread to the hungry. Let's be practical here. I think every once in a while you should take someone out of the church. You know they probably don't have a lot of money. Maybe they're a single mom. Or say, let me take you out to a restaurant. Maybe somebody at work doesn't have enough money. See, God's very practical as very is spiritual. You see, feed your bread. How about the word, giving a word to somebody? Bring the poor that are cast out. God help us to have the resources and revenue and laborers to help the poor. There's a lot of poor people in Petersburg. There's a lot of poor people in these cities. Right, our motel right there is a lot of poor people. God help us to be able to reach them. When you see the naked, you cover him. A lot of people today they don't know who they are. They have cast off garments of morality. They've cast off garments of self-respect. And it's not us to judge them. It's not us to judge anybody in any type of morality. No, God hates it. It's a sin. Our job is to try to get them to the cross. Hide not thyself in mine own flesh. Talking about your own family. Don't just neglect your family, prayer time and things. We're going to review this real quick. Then, everybody say then. Thou shalt call and the Lord shall answer. We talked about that. Shall cry and he'll say, here I am. Shall thy light rise in obscurity and thy darkness be as the noonday? The Lord shall guide thee continually. Now one more scripture and then we're going to close and have communion. Matthew 6:16. I want to tie this into the New Testament. Moreover, when you fast. Everybody say when. When means when. When you do it. Not like if, maybe. When you fast, don't be like the hypocrites. Of a sad countenance. What's happening, Pastor? I'm fasting. How long have you fasted? Man, I've been on this long fast. Yeah, how long? I've been fasting since breakfast. It's noontime. Don't be that. Don't do that. For they disfigure their faces. Pastor Deb, I'm fasting years ago. Honey, you doing okay? Yeah, I'm doing all right. How long has it been? I don't know. It's been a couple meals. Well, hang in there, honey. I'm trying. No, get away from it. Don't go by the refrigerator. Go through the other door. Okay. All right. That they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they've got the reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head, wash your face. What do you anoint it with? Well, you can use oil if you want, but how about anointing it with this? Thanksgiving. Anoint your head with God's goodness. Anoint your head with positive words. Anoint your head with thoughts of how good God's been to you. Anoint your head How he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. There's no thing that can stand in your way to separate it from his love. Begin to anoint your head, your thoughts. Your head speaks of your thoughts. Get some renewed thoughts. I can do all things through Christ. I don't have to stay in a rut. I can believe God for... Begin to anoint that head and wash your face. Why do you need to wash your face? Because God wants to make your face beautiful. God wants you to wash away the things that have come into your life to bring wrinkles and things that have caused us to have sad countenance. He said, listen, wash your face. What does that speak of? It speaks of a confidence. It speaks of a faith. It speaks that we believe there's better days ahead for us. It speaks of, you know what? I'm not going to get into a rut of not washing my face. How many be honest and you wash your face every day? Yikes, yikes, yikes. Okay, I don't wash it. Well, anyway, let's move on. But wash your face, man. Sometimes there ain't nothing in life going to help you till you fill that sink up with cold water and get some Ivory soap that my mama used to have. And you take that Ivory soap and you get it on your hands and you put it on your face and close your door. Don't forget to close your eyes. And close your eyes and you take that cold water and splash and get that towel. Man, when you look in the mirror, you looking good. Come on, give God a praise. You know I'm right. Can't just get up. Okay, I'm going to work. You haven't washed your face. You got sand in your eyes. People looking at you at work like, hey, all right, you okay? Wash your face. That you don't appear unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. This is all done in secret. Which sees in secret, he shall reward you openly. I don't know about you. I like being rewarded. I don't need a reward. Oh, come on. Nothing like God rewarding you. When God rewards you, you know it's not man because only God can do it. Everything God's rewarded me in my life, I tell you what, I could have never done it. I could have never done all the things God's given me and done and opened doors for me. I could have never in a million years. See, God wants to do something fresh in you and reward you. And you say, well, I didn't get it from this man. I didn't get it because I listened to CDs. I didn't get it because I just listened to this or I'm better. God wants it because you decided to shift a gear and to begin to go back to God in a fresh way. You skip a few meals, and as you're hungering and as your stomach is growling like a thunderstorm, you ask this question. Does my spiritual hunger for God match my stomach's craving for food? And usually it doesn't. But at that moment, I can make a new decision. Listen, stomach. What comes in goes out. It's temporary. I am not going to worship you. My God is not my belly. And I'm talking to me. I love food. My family loves food. Are you kidding me? I've struggled with my weight all my life. So fasting is not, when I first entered into it, I was like, oh, okay. But I have a different perspective now. And when I'm really hungry from fasting, then I think, okay, Bill, are you as hungry for God? Your stomach's making noises. Are you making noises to the throne? Are you calling upon God in a new way? Like your stomach? God's chosen fast. Let's do it together. Whether you fast a day or a meal. You don't say, well, I'm just going to fast my soap operas. I shouldn't be watching them anyway. But anyway, you don't fast soap operas. You fast food. Well, I'm going to fast. I'm just not going to go on my trip to Austria this year. I'll fast that. No, that's not a fast. A fast is food. Everybody say food. No, we try to get around it like, well, and I know some people, because of physical reasons, cannot fast like other people, but maybe you could have fasted a certain food for a while. God is looking at the heart, not the food that you eat or don't eat. God has a lot of promises individually and collectively because it's his fast. Amen. Come on, let's stand up. Give God a shout, would you, if you learned anything? Hallelujah. I'm ready to fast. Well, after I eat lunch, but then I'll fast. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Come on, lift your hands up. Father, we thank you today. Your word is true. You have such great things laid up for us. And Lord, even though we seek you daily and want your righteousness, sometimes Lord, we get mixed up about fasting. Help us. It's not a burden. It's not to make us miserable. It's for us to realize that the hunger that I have naturally should be translated into a spiritual hunger, a new hunger, desiring new things. Even as the natural man, he tastes certain foods and new foods in different countries and develops an appetite. Lord, there are so many spiritual graces that you want us to partake of we've never eaten. And those graces are powerful and mighty. We ask, help us to stay focused, 2020, for we look for your reward and for your glory. In Jesus' name. Now, while we're praying, every eye closed, if you're here today,